Father God, we thank you so much for Lawrence, Lord, and we pray for him now as he speaks to us. We ask, Lord, that what you've put upon his heart, he will share. And Lord, that our hearts, as well as our ears, may be open to receive. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
I was just testing, because there's plenty of opportunities for amens during this sermon, which is perhaps not normally our way, but... you can't do it at Easter, when can you?
Amen.
Thanks, Andy. That was the second test you passed. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and several other women make their way to the tomb of Jesus to anoint his body with spices. But when they arrive, they are shocked to find that the tomb is empty. Jesus' body is no longer there, and although they weren't aware of it at the time, they have become the first witnesses to an entirely changed world. The love and power of God had flooded the earth and turned all of creation upside down. All of a sudden, death had become life, despair had been turned to hope, and darkness bathed with light. The promises of God that had spanned millennia had in an instant been fulfilled. As Zephaniah had prophesied, the poverty of God's people had become wealth. Their fear turned to confidence, their punishment replaced with freedom. And they had been brought back out of exile to their rightful home. All of this wonder, this splendor and this beauty, and yet somehow the women can't see it. Without warning, two angels appear among them, and the question they pose pierces their blindness. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Of course, the reality is that the women weren't actually looking for the living, but really they were looking for the dead. They had come to grieve and to anoint Jesus' body. But they did not find the dead because the one they were looking for had conquered death and is alive. Amen?
Amen.
We're getting good. We should do this more often. The angels are quick to explain the good news to them. He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. And at this moment, it's like scales falling off of their eyes. Jesus had told them that this was going to happen to him. But at the time, they were unable to grasp what he was telling them. But now they remember his words and they make sense. There in the empty tomb, in the light of the reality of the resurrection, they truly hear Jesus' words and believe. On Easter day, our own eyes are opened to the wonder of the resurrection. We see that the cross is empty, the tomb is empty, and Jesus is alive. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
And so the hearts of the women are changed by the angels. And with eyes wide open, they go and they share all that had just happened to them with the 11 disciples and those who were with them. But just as their own blindness had stopped them from seeing the truth, it's as though the disciples have become deaf to hope. They hear the words, but they clash with everything that they had seen and heard over the past 2 days. During the supper they had shared together, Jesus had told them that he would be put to death. They watched as he was betrayed and arrested. They scattered and they fled and they denied him. They heard him falsely accused and wrongly convicted, and they knew that he had died upon that cross. And so at the news of his resurrection, the words of the women seemed to them like nonsense. But that wasn't the end. Peter's heart is stirred within him and he runs off to the tomb to see for himself. The other Gospels tell us that the words of the women prepare the disciples to meet with Jesus. And this act of faith is all that it takes to challenge their doubts and for each of them to have an encounter with the living Lord Jesus. One by one, their ears are opened as they hear him speak, some on the road to Emmaus and others in his words of peace in that room in Jerusalem. On Easter day, our own ears are open to the message of hope. Why do you look for the living among the dead, friends? He is not here. He is risen. Death has been defeated. The cross is empty. The tomb is empty and Jesus is alive. Alleluia.
Alleluia.
So our celebration this morning then is about two things. Firstly, it is about praising God because Jesus is alive. And that means that sin and separation and brokenness are left behind in the grave and God's people are made alive with him. We are all blessed beyond telling to be counted among those who have received and believe this good news. Every person who sees the empty tomb and hears the message of hope and trusts in Jesus has received the greatest gift of all. The world, as we have experienced today, can often make us blind and deaf to hope. But God's grace has helped each of us to believe. Therefore, our celebration at Easter is not just a time of praise, but it is also a reminder to be not just those who have heard the message and received it, but those who declare it as well. The women had their eyes opened and they told others about what they had seen. The disciples had their ears opened and told others about what they had heard. How then can we, whose hearts have been changed, not tell the world that the cross is empty, the tomb is empty, and Jesus is alive?
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Pete. Hallelujah. I wonder if you can remember the time when you first believed in the resurrection and who first spoke of it to you. Perhaps it was at church, or perhaps a friend or a family member. Perhaps someone sat down and took the time to explain the gospel to you. Or perhaps it was when you read the gospel story for yourself and your eyes were opened by the Holy Spirit when you read the word. All I can say is thank God for those people who first decided to share the good news with each of us. In fact, in a moment of silence, picture those people in your minds and just thank God for them. I don't know about you, but I can picture, almost in a sequence, the people who opened my eyes to the gospel and the good news. And I am so grateful to them that they were willing to speak out in faith. They were willing to tell me what they had seen in the gospel. And because of them, I am here today. And each of you are here today because of those people. At Easter, the church has a wonderful message to share. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Because the cross is empty. The tomb is empty and Jesus is not there because he is alive. To find hope and meaning in anything other than Jesus is like looking for the living among the dead. Jesus is our life. He is the inspiration for our love. He is our hope for the future. If we look for life among the things of this world, we will find only death. But if we look for the Lord Jesus, we will find life. If you are here this morning and you do not understand the resurrection, you do not believe in the resurrection, then there are a number of people here who would be more than willing to tell you about the way that it has changed our lives. It is our joy and our commission, friends, to share the good news of Jesus, to look for him, to hear his voice and to believe, and then to share this most wonderful gift with others. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. In response to that wonderful message that Christ is risen, we have a time of reflection now. I'm sorry, I'm going to drop the band in it, but they said I could. Well, at least Linda said I could. Back at Leaders and Preachers last week. Yeah, there we go, she did. just to play perhaps some background music. At the back of the church, you'll see we have a cross. And what you might not be able to see is at the foot of the cross, there are about 120 paper flowers of different colours. I've been saying the cross is empty, Jesus is alive. And as we look upon the empty cross and we remember the new life that he has given us, I wonder whether we would be willing to just stand up, make our way to the cross, and to stick, and there's some blue tack there as well, and to stick a flower on the cross. as a sign of that new life. You might like to do that as an act of worship, to say thank you to Jesus for rising from the dead and for bringing you to a new life. You might want to do it as an act of confession, to say sorry for the things that held him to the cross, and to claim that promise that is fulfilled in his resurrection. And if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus, then I invite you still to go and stick a flower on there as a sign of searching, to say that you are willing to let Jesus speak to you. So if the band are happy to just play, we'll spend perhaps the next 3-4 minutes. Please go up to the back when you're ready and do stick a flower. And let's make that cross something from a tool of death into a symbol of life.
Lawrence brings us to the front. We just pray together. May God, who loved the world so much that he sent his Son to be our Saviour, forgive us our sins and make us holy to serve him in the world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This is turning out to be a very kinesthetic service this morning. Would you please stand? We come to that point where we share the peace together. So if you're unfamiliar at all with this, this is an opportunity to greet one another with words of peace. Through Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. May the peace of our risen Lord be always with you and also with you. Please share that peace together now.